Express yourself. That's right. Time to express yourself. Here on KD&K. Thanks for tuning in. Happy Friday. And thanks for tuning in. Every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m., we have Express Yourself on KD&K Community Access Radio, located in the heart of the Carbondale Creative District. I'm your host today, Brian Colley, and here on the show, we feature all things culture, creativity, in and around the Roaring Fork Valley, from visual artists and makers to performing artists and musicians and so much more. Here's what's coming up on today's show. In a little bit, we'll have some music from Olivia the Bard, who is back in Carbondale in between some touring. She'll be sharing some new songs with us. Don't miss Olivia's hashtag BardLife coming up soon. After that, don't miss a conversation Amy Kimberly had with author and Carbondale native Annika Jade Levy, whose book Flat Earth was recently chosen as the National Book of the Month, coming out November 1st. Finally, we'll get a visit from Jan Garrett and J.D. Martin ahead of their performance with Marcy Baruch called The Power of the Seed, taking place tomorrow, Saturday, at the 3rd Street Center's Round Room. But first off, we're going to chat with the one and only Muggsy Faye all about the zombie pub crawl, which is tonight. So don't touch that dial. Be right back. Let's talk about zombies. Here on October 24th, time to talk about zombies. How's it going, Muggsy?
It's going pretty good. Feeling pretty ready to zombify.
You don't have your zombie outfit on yet, maybe?
Yeah, not yet.
I mean, it's the radio. You could have one on right now and no one would know.
Well, I mean, if I go out and put green makeup on, that's probably a little less realistic than like what my zombied body would actually look like, right? Like,
it's
I'm
true.
Still kind of in my PJs, so I feel phoning it in a little bit. So this is a pretty true-to-life zombie outfit that I'm working. But I am going to get dressed up.
Okay.
Sure.
Excellent. Let's hear what is the zombie pub crawl? You're in charge of it this year, right?
Yeah. So I can't even tell you how long the zombie pub crawl has actually been going on in Carbondale, because I think it's been happening for over a decade now.
Oh, cool.
And it just kind of started as some people who dressed up really amazingly with great zombie makeup and went out to the bars and kind of snowballed from there. And so a couple years ago, it kind of just fell into my friend and bestie and partner in crime, Josie's lap.
Right.
And I run a nonprofit that I also founded called High Rockies Harm Reduction, where we do a lot of work with restaurants, bars, resorts, service industry, and schools, and everyone on overdose prevention, right? So that means Narcan, naloxone, the drug that can reverse overdoses, that's super safe and easy to use. We work to get that in the hands of whoever needs it. And so to me, any event where we're working with nightlife, bars, music, that kind of thing is totally like the perfect marriage with the Narcan and High Rockies and Zombie Crawl specifically, because, you know, if everyone had Narcan, we could have a world of those who rise from the dead.
That is so...
I've been working on that pun all my life, and
I think
it just came together.
I don't know why I didn't see that coming, actually. That is brilliant. Thank you.
So, yes, High Rockies Harm Reduction is technically the sponsor and, like, organizing company of the zombie pub crawl now, today.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay, and it's tonight. It kicks off, did you say, 7 p.m.?
Yep, 7 p.m. We'll be starting at El Dorado, and we'll be moving around as a horde from about 7 to 10 through the downtown core of Carbondale. But folks are welcome to stop by any of our participating businesses throughout the night for specialty cocktails and discounts and just good old-fashioned zombie fun.
Good old-fashioned zombie fun, moving as a horde. So just beware when you're out and about tonight. There might be a horde.
Yes, if you
crawling.
See us out there, it is not, I mean, it might be the apocalypse, but we are not real zombies.
You never know, right?
I feel weird saying that, because what about the contingency that real zombies do turn out tonight? Nothing to do with that.
They better get their punch passes. That's all I got to say. Yeah. How does the punch pass work?
Yeah. So this is a new thing we're trying this year so that we can make the event a little bit of a fundraiser for High Rockies Harm Reduction. So you by no means have to do this to be involved. But if you come to El Dorado between 7 and 7:30, you can purchase a punch pass that has six little spots. So our participating business businesses tonight are El Dorado, La Raza, Downtown Liquors on Main, The Crystal Theater, Carbondale Beer Works, and The Black Nugget Saloon. So you'll get a punch or a checkoff or whatever at each one of those locations with your punch pass. Make sure to write your name on it. I will have pens for you. And then at the end of the night, between 9:30 and 10, we'll convene at The Black Nugget, and we will take all of the completed punch passes. So every punch pass that has gone to each location, and put all of those in for a special prize drawing. So we're going to have, we have a pretty great grand prize basket put together for that.
Okay.
We've got gift cards from local businesses, some High Rockies Harm Reduction merch, nice, and some other fun goodies.
Oh, dang.
There.
Yeah, you've been working hard on that. That's so great.
Thank you.
How do people need to dress up? What if they don't dress up, they just show up?
If you just show up,
just like rip their shirt a little
bit. I would highly recommend. Yeah, I could bite them if need be. We do have, like, I just went around and got all the bars kind of set up for tonight. And so some of the spots do have, like, especially El Dorado, we've got some, like, googly eyeball glasses. Okay. So if you really want to be a part of the horde and you don't have time or whatever the reason, we've got a couple contingency plans for you there as well.
Excellent, excellent. How can people learn more? I think I saw you had a Facebook event set up.
Yes. So if you find High Rockies Harm Reduction on Facebook or Instagram, all the info should be up there. We've got a pretty detailed flyer and a map of the locations. I know that, you know, things, I've worked in service for a long time, so I know that you write it all down and there's still going to be questions later and there's going to be confusion. So it's our first time. You know, I'm never really focused on fundraising. I'm really focused on fundraising and getting the supplies out there. You know, I just want to, yeah, I know it's cute, but but truly, like, I just want to save lives. But I do have a nonprofit to manage. So if you're willing to, you know, throw $10 to High Rockies, that would be great. We would love that. But we know that it's going to be an interesting rollout because it's a new thing. So that's in theory how it's going to work. Downtown Liquors has also offered to be a stationary location to purchase the punch passes throughout the night for people who maybe want to come later or whatever. Otherwise, find me and I will probably be wearing a long blonde wig and have green skin. So if you can recognize me and find me, I can sell you a punch pass throughout the night.
Excellent. How can people learn more about High Rockies Reduction Harm?
Yeah, you can also visit highrockiesharmreduction.com. Yeah, it's like a million times a week I hear High Country Harm Reduction, High Alpine, whatever. It's a hard name to remember, but it's alliteration based on our Craigslist region, right? Because we are the High Rockies of Colorado, kind of between Grand Junction and Denver. So you can go to highrockiesharmreduction.com to learn more and find our service schedule. We're also in the KDNK community calendar because we do provide pop-up services with free Narcan, fentanyl test strips, safe use supplies, syringe disposal, wound care, first aid, all that stuff.
Wow.
At 5 locations from Aspen to Glenwood once a week-ish. We're going to be a little quiet throughout the winter and have some changes for off-season and stuff as we're building stuff out because 2026, we're coming hard and we're going to be providing weekly services in 12 locations across 5 counties.
Wow, way to go, Muggsy.
Thanks. And I also folks, again, like, I'm all just about getting it out there. So if you are dying for supplies and our locations, well, hopefully you have them before that because you need them before the problem happens. But if you really want to get stuff and our times don't work for you, you can always reach out to me, text, email, DM, call me. All my contact info is on our website and we can book appointments or whatever that looks like. We can mail supplies, whatever it takes to get you what you need. And now all Garfield County libraries give out free Narcan too.
Oh, wow.
So that's really exciting.
Incredible.
We do whatever we can to get
you're doing
what they
good
need.
Work out there, Muggsy. Thank you. And thanks for putting together something fun tonight for all the zombies out there listening. Really good stuff.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Brian, and for all you do. And can't wait to see all the zombies out there in the night taking over town.
We got a little Lady Gaga zombie boy, but get your zombie crawl on tonight, 7 o'clock El Dorado, or through the evening, meet up at the Black Nugget for prizes and more if you got your punch pass. Thanks, Muggsy.
Thanks, Brian.
Oh, man, getting excited for zombies all of a sudden. Yeah, thanks, Muggsy, for coming in here. Up next, we got a special visitor in the middle of a tour, I believe. Is this Olivia the Bard?
Yes, it is.
Live in studio. What a special treat. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my gosh. The treat is entirely mine. but actually, I hope we're going to be treating all of you. In fact, I know that we are. I have never felt so convinced that I was offering something beautiful that we need, and that is such a special feeling. I can't even
we
tell
all
you.
Need we all need beautiful creations like what you've been making.
Thanks.
Do you wanna, what have you been working
what have
on?
I been doing? Well, this summer, I think we started in July, I got to go into Kuhlberg Studios.
Nice.
And begin work on what we thought was going to be four, but then turned out to be three tracks. It's three that were ready to go. And these three songs are the beginning, the middle, and the end of a show that I've been touring since March. I did it a bunch in Carbondale, but I also got to do it in Hawaii.
Wow.
And maybe that's it. But on Wednesday, I'm driving to the West Coast and starting in LA. I got two shows in LA, then Oakland, Bend, Portland is coming together, definitely somewhere in Northern Washington, and a few times in the Vancouver area.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so till the middle of December. And then on the way back, possibly Boise and almost certainly Park City. So, it's super exciting and feels like
things are happening.
Yeah, the things are happening.
For Olivia the Bard.
Yeah. And I get the wonderful experience of the gritty making it happen.
Yeah. The grit that no one really sees.
No one sees it.
But yeah.
How many hours one spends on the computer.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
But we've got three songs. I think we'll probably get to two of them with all the things on this show today. But
yeah.
Do you want to introduce the first song?
I do. So these three songs really are the beginning, the middle, and the end of this show. And we're going to give you the middle and the end.
Great.
And leave you longing for the beginning.
Yes.
This song is called Eyes for Me. And I'm not going to tell you any stories about it. I'm going to let it speak for itself. And just so you know, whoever's listening out there, this is the first. You are the first. You are the first people to hear this track.
This is why you want to be tuned into KDNK, you guys. Thank you, Olivia. Here we are, Eyes for Me.
I fell before the turning of the leaves, for a vision of golden green. I spun out under the stars to the tune of your guitar and singing in harmony. Thank you.
think I'm free. You turn and wink at me. You just ain't got eyes for me at all. Flush of spring can't be ignored. And if beauty ain't a sign, then what's it for? But if a girl's what you prefer, then your blindness ain't my concern.
Yeah, very nice.
Thank you.
Tell us.
He doesn't actually know. We were talking the whole time.
I had the microphone turned off.
It was there.
That's the magic of radio.
Right, right. I just broke it.
The illusion of radio. Tell us who you were recording with.
Yeah, that is really special information. Just a huge heaping mountain of gratitude going out to Ashton Toffer on the bass, Delaney Myers on that heartbreaking violin, and Harris Jackson, these people on the guitar. Sorry, everybody knows. These people were so generous with their time and their incredible talents, and we did it all in the gorgeous studio of Dave Taylor's home, yeah, at Cool Brick. So I could not ask for a more brilliant team to bring these songs to life. And yeah, you just heard it. Yeah.
Before we jump into the next song,
yeah,
how can people follow your journey as you're out there? Hashtag bardlifing.
Hashtag bardlife. Well, that's one way, actually. You yeah. can search hashtag bardlife. but I am olivia.the.bard on Instagram.
Okay.
It seems like there's going to have to be a TikTok adventure, but I just can't get there yet. My website, really a tragic thing happened, and I haven't been able to get back to it either, but it will be there soon, and that will be oliviathebard.com. And So, as I said, you are the first people to hear this, but soon these tracks will be streaming on all the platforms. I will distribute digitally and they'll just be everywhere. YouTube, Olivia the Bard, all the, just Olivia the Bard.
Olivia the Bard.
Yeah. The internet knows where to find me. And yeah, and if you have friends on the West Coast, please let them know that I'm coming, because I'm building this thing one person at a time, and that's how a bard works.
That's how it works.
So,
but you've got your schedule and locations and all that.
Yeah, it's still definitely coming together, but it starts in LA. Two shows in LA, one in a neighborhood I'm not actually certain of, and one in Venice Beach. Venice Beach is the 9th of November, and the other show is the 6th. And then I'm going to be in Oakland. I actually realized that the dates I have for Oakland and Bend are maybe impossible. And so I'm going to try to talk my Oakland friends into hosting me a couple days earlier. So I'm hoping the 13th is going to work for them.
Okay, yeah.
The 16th in Bend. And then...
Just put out your hopeful schedule.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, and I'll be in Vancouver all by the 24th and staying for almost 2 weeks. I get to really stop and...
Right.
And and just be up in the Vancouver area, Salt Spring Island, and yeah.
And I imagine besides these three songs, and we're playing two of them, you've got more in the ether.
I mean, yes. Like, I'm a songwriter. Yeah. I have a whole bunch of songs. I've got new songs coming. I hope to be back in Carbondale this winter, really focused on pulling that stuff together. It's all... resource intensive. So if you're loving what you hear, you can also Venmo me anytime you want.
There you go.
Olivia-Pevic.
Support the artist.
Yeah, it's and we'll be doing some grant writing, and I'm really having to, you know, we're just figuring it out because this is what I was made to do, and I'm just not going to pretend it's not anymore. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about this next song?
Yeah, next song. So this is the big end of the show. I've made you cry, broke your heart. Now we're going to make you laugh. And another big, oh my gosh, I will miss somebody if I say all the names, but let's see. Ashton Delaney were there, Natasha Seedorf, Christy Interlanti, Pete Beland, Bridger Langfer, Dan, whose last name I don't know, Schneider, and Deborah Colley, and Morgan Williams, and basically a team of shining, glowing hearts that are going to make you laugh right now. So if I made you cry, no, it was good for you, and now we're going to laugh.
Well, thank you, Olivia.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great having you on Katie and Kay.
Thanks for having
me. Best wishes out there on your tour.
Thank you.
Can't wait to follow along.
Yeah.
All right. Without further ado... Meat sack.
Once upon a time, I was everything. The stars in your eyes, all the bugs in the grass, and the Palomino ponies, the authentic and the phonies. Every river, every ocean, every island of trash. Oh, it was really something to be everything. So much perspective, no binding of time. Then I began to pine to specify my kind, and I consolidated before I could change my mind. And now I've got a meat sack full of consciousness.
And so do you, yes,
I've a meat sack, I call I, and me, and my, oh my, I've got a meat sack full of consciousness, and I'm gonna have this meat sack till the day that it dies.
Said it's a girl. Oh, the parts were all in place, but they didn't always rhyme. I mean, everyone loves boobs, and we make our own loop, but these absurd expectations, considering the times,
But oh my God, have you tasted sour? Olive oil makes everything better. I love the squelching of meat because we are what we eat. Call me vanilla with freshly ground pepper. Don't forget the olive oil. Oh, because I love this meat sack full of consciousness. Oh, yes, I love this meat sack. I call I and me and my, oh my. I love this meat sack full of consciousness. And I'm gonna love this meat sack till the day that it dies. Oh, but winters can be dreadfully cold. Suddenly unseasonably warm, and there are wildfires raging, the gravity of aging, the blessing and the burden of every human born. And all of this seems wildly insecure and whirling quite alarmingly fast. I mean, should I build a booty, shop around for a cutie? How long is this ride gonna actually last? Just a meat sack full of consciousness. Oh, yes, I'm just a meat sack. I call I and me and my, oh my. I'm just a meat sack full of consciousness. And I'm gonna be this meat sack till the day. I reach out for another, because arms were made to hold each other. And while it's wise to be on guard, oh, take it from a bard, well, we all come from the same magnificent mother. Oh, I love this meat sack full of consciousness. Oh, yes, I love this meat sack. I call I and me and my, oh my. I love this meat sack full of consciousness. And I'm gonna love this meat sack till the
I am in the studio with Annika Jade Levy. She is the founding editor of Forever Magazine, a writer and an author. Her first published novel, Flat Earth, comes out November 4th. Though, if you are part of the Book of the Month Club, you might be able to read it this month. And she spent many of her formative years right here in Carbondale. Welcome, Annika.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy.
Well, now, I am in the midst of reading the book, and wow, you've captured something that's really very, very contemporary and relevant and present in now, and maybe a little more specific to East Coast, New York City living. But still, I find so much I can relate to in it, and it's so fresh. And I wondered, what inspired you to write this particular novel?
Well, I think New York has kind of a mimetic relationship to rural America, and that was something that I was seeing play out. I wrote this book when I was at Columbia in the writing MFA, and I was thinking about just all of the ways that rural America was getting looked at in the New York City art world, either really dismissively or sort of as this fetish object. And I was also thinking about all of these road trips that I took as a teenager driving between the Rockies and California and all of these kind of roadside attractions that are half ruined. And just this idea that we're kind of living after the end of the great American empire, and what that feels like.
So how many years ago did you start this?
I started this book in 2022, and I wrote it pretty fast. It's quick, and I think I just wanted to write about how it felt to be in New York during that period and some of the canaries in the coal mine in terms of the sort of cultural conservative turn that I think is playing out now.
As I'm reading, of course, I'm always wondering what is fact and what is fiction, and how does that work for you when you're writing?
I made it all up with my mind. No, I've said this before. I think a writer puts everything she has into her first book. So any biographical detail, I certainly borrowed a lot of things from my life and from people in my life, but none of these characters are real. And if it looks like autobiographical fiction, it's only because certain things happened after I wrote this that maybe made it look more real than it actually was when I was writing it.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, you just captured so much of things that are going on right now, even though you started this so early ago. It's like you're a seer. It just comes through you. Well, can you read us a little clip of it, and then we'll continue talking?
Yeah. In August, all the pharmacies in New York run out of Adderall, a supply chain breakdown, a fraught relationship with China, a shipping container full of Estonian girls. In the absence of Adderall, all the girls in my class gain weight. The libraries go empty. We all cry constantly. Some of us take vows of celibacy. Many of us pretend to be Catholic, but only two join a convent. Everyone calls their mother on the phone compulsively. I take a handful of caffeine pills. I take a 5-hour energy. I mail the rent 8 days late. I reward myself with a nap. Right-wing nutrition fads fall into fashion that year, an uptick in bovine meat, unpasteurized dairy, seed oil skepticism, vaccine hesitancy. Hem lengths are going down again. And then skipping ahead a bit, I'll just read a tiny bit from the end of the first chapter where the narrator, Avery, and her friend Frances are filming this sort of experimental documentary about conspiracy theories in rural America. Our final stop was the Flat Earth Conference in Dallas. A woman in a tattered fur coat told us that Adolf Hitler initially discovered the flatness of the Earth, and then he faked his own death and sequestered himself in Antarctica to build a new Berlin. She spoke with demented American enthusiasm, a lilt in her voice that I associated with prescription stimulants. I wondered whether the drug shortage would reach Texas. She told us that Pepsi uses aborted fetal cells in their flavoring, that Google Earth is run by the CIA. Then she pointed across the highway to the crowd gathering at Dealey Plaza. 60 years ago, the president was shot twice in the head and in the back of his neck, and now hundreds of people were praying for his supernatural return, praying for him to come back and tell them that the last 60 years had been a fever dream.
It's just crazy how much you capture. And that's just two small pages of this book. I love the way it's written. And, you know, your style is very female, but yet you capture many of the absurdities of present-day life that all of us can relate to. So even though, let's say, I'm a 68-year-old woman and you're a 30-year-old woman, there's so much in the book that just still resonates and also gives me kind of insight into this crazy view of life that many are experiencing, especially maybe younger people.
Yeah, I think young women really have the sense that their social lives are quite transactional, because they are, and whether that's sort of an economic condition or a result of social media addiction. That was certainly something that I was feeling, that there was sort of nowhere in my life that capitalism could not go. And in terms of the, I like that you said that the style is very female. I think that's true. We were talking a little bit about the fragmentation of the book, how it sort of jumps around. And I think all of our experiences of time are sort of fragmentary since COVID folded everyone's brains in half. But there's also this sort of new legacy of feminist fiction with writers like Jenny Offel writing in fragments. And I think there's this idea that as women, we're sort of so busy with all of these responsibilities that it's the writing is being formed by the fact that it's being written in 15-minute blips, right, around, particularly for, you know, writers who are mothers.
Kind of like when you're writing in a journal or something and you just have this complete thought that happens in a fragment that really creates a complete picture in a way, but then can be part of the greater whole. And that's what I find interesting about your book and the way it's written. I want to read, I got this somewhere off of the internet. It's probably your publisher, but it says, in this generational portrait, attention spans are at an all-time low and dopamine tolerance is at an all-time high. Flat Earth is a story of coming of age in America, a novel about commodification, conspiracy theories, mimetic desire, and the difficulties of female friendship that's as sharp and sardonic as it is heartbreaking. Do you feel that's a apt description?
Yeah, I love that. I wrote that.
Well, there you have it. Good job.
I know it's about so many things. It really was just like all of these things that I was concerned with when I wrote it. But I think I also felt like when I was writing well, I really was kind of channeling something or tapping into a voice that wasn't mine. So I also don't want to take too much credit for it.
Well, you do have a great wit, and it comes through in it. And just in every day, as you're looking at some of these absurdities of life, are you rewriting them in your head in some way?
I'm always taking notes. I'm not really working on a second book yet, but I'm always taking notes. And I think in terms of the perspective of the narrator of this book, Avery, a lot of what defines her is her kind of porosity, that she's really, the boundaries between her and the rest of the world are not very clear. So I think the reason that the book has some interesting observations is because she's just constantly being penetrated by every experience that she has. She's really just sort of susceptible to her environment, which is why I think, in spite of being pretty naive, she's sort of an oracle in some ways.
Fantastic. So how did you get a publisher?
I hunted her for sport. No, I was really interested in the catalog of this one young editor named Kendall Story. And I was reading a lot of the books that she was putting out and seeing that they were doing really well in spite of not being on a Big Five. And I met her. I won't go into too much detail because it's a little grisly, but I'll just say that my boyfriend at the time really misbehaved in her home on her husband's birthday, to which we were not invited. We just had sort of arrived there. And I thought I'd really blown it. But the next day I sent them an edible arrangement, which I think they were sort of charmed by. So never let a crisis go to waste.
Good job. Because, yeah, so many people have to self-publish, and it's really great. So you have a lot of people behind you and in your court as this book is coming out. You just were at the Aspen Literary Festival, and you are the Book of the Month Club feature for October. The book comes out November 4th. And there are certain ways that people can really support your venture.
Pre-order the book. That's the biggest thing. Pre-orders matter a lot, I'm told. And it should be available in most bookstores on November 4th.
And people can pre-order at Amazon.
Can pre-order it through Amazon or through bookshop.org if you want to support an indie. It should be available to pre-order anywhere books are sold.
That's awesome. So now as your future unfolds here, these next couple months look like what?
Yeah. So I'm going to New York and I have a few weeks there to just hang out with my cat. Thank God. And then I'll have a launch party in New York with Volume Zero and Book of the Month Club. And then I'm going to London for 5 nights because my book is out on Little Brown in the UK. So I'm doing a couple of engagements in London, and then I'm coming back to New York, and I'm doing my bookstore launch at the Strand, which is amazing. Later that month, I will be at Books and Books in Miami, and then in December, I'll be at Stories in Los Angeles and Clio's in San Francisco. And I think that's it for now.
Wow. Well, I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot about you, but you have actually been in the literary world in New York for a while, and I just want to take a couple minutes to talk about that. You are the founding editor of a magazine called Forever. Tell our audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I started this magazine with my best friend, Madeline Cash, who's also a wonderful writer. And I think we were sort of responding to what we saw as a cultural void. We were both very interested in the work of an indie press called New York Tyrant. And when that publisher died somewhat tragically and unexpectedly, it felt like there was just nowhere for this certain kind of work to go. So we started publishing a lot of Tyrant writers online and then doing print issues 2 or 3 times a year as much as we could. And it was just such a wonderful, beneficial experience. Also in 2021, there were still a lot of restrictions on how we could gather. Concerts weren't really happening. So our literary readings emerged as this really, really rowdy social space. Mm-hmm. And it felt like anything was kind of possible. I remember the writer Nico Walker, who I adored, had just been let out of federal prison because he's a bank robber. Mm-hmm. And he was on parole. And I remember writing somewhat delusionally to his parole officer and saying, can Nico please come to New York to do our reading? And the parole officer said yes for some reason. And then he did his very first public appearance after having this massive book come out and never being able to read from it or do any engagements. So it was just a magical time. And it was, you know, we got lucky, basically, and I feel really privileged to have published the writers that we've published.
And is it only in print?
So we publish occasionally online, but the material that's in the print magazine, which is also a lot of fine art, is only available in the print magazine, and it's pretty limited runs. I send them all out myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, Annika, you've just done so good, and it's very exciting to watch all of this unfold. And as this book takes a life of its own, do you feel like it's like you've launched it into the world, or you're about to launch it into the world, and you're suddenly going to have a relationship with the whole world? Like, what does this feel like?
Yeah, I feel like it's not going to be mine anymore. I feel like I'm giving away my firstborn, which I don't know. It sounds silly because it's, you know, it's about 200 pages, but it's really my life's work. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be mine. And that's how it is. And I know that I have really, really intimate relationships to other people's books and that I feel some sense of possessiveness over them. And yeah, I don't know. I just hopefully I'll wake up on November 4th and I'll be a completely different person. So I'll be equipped to handle it.
Well, get ready. You might wake up and you're going to be you. Well, it's really awesome to see this happen for someone. I mean, the whole book world is changing all the time, right? It's just literary is a word that doesn't get used as much as it used to, and a word that kind of has to fight for exposure. You know?
Books are so important, and I do think that there will always be a premium on physical media, and I think young people in particular are sort of sick of experiencing everything through their phones. But yeah, it's so important to buy books, buy them from a local bookstore if you can, or else it really, the form is certainly under threat.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really great that there's fresh people coming in and lending their voice to it. We really thank you for that. I believe White River Books will be carrying your books here in Carbondale. And November 4th, if there's something that if you sell so many books, what's the deal?
Well, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but in terms of bestseller lists, it's really beneficial to sell during pub week and in the weeks leading up to my pub week. So every little bit helps, you know. I'm staying as delusional as possible.
Well, good. We want to help you be delusional because the thousands and millions of people that are listening to this show right now will definitely could help go out and get the book within the first week, and it really makes a difference. It deserves to be a bestseller. Flat Earth, folks, you gotta look for it by Annika Jade Levy.
Thank you so much for doing this, Amy. It's such a kind of surreal pleasure to be back in the Valley because I don't have family here anymore and I don't have much occasion to visit. So I just feel so lucky to be in my hometown talking about my book. Thank you.
Well, we expect to have you back talking about your second and third books too. So thank you, Annika. Is there a website people can go to?
If Googling Flat Earth is unfortunately, it's not totally optimized for search engines, but it should be available through almost any bookstore. So
okay, but online at Amazon. And you don't have a personal web page?
No, forevermag.net.
Wow, look at that. All right, I love it. All right, thanks so much for being here.
And thank you, Amy, for that awesome interview. Right now, we have a few more minutes to talk with special guests in the studio, Jan Garrett and J.D. Martin, who are here to talk up their performance tomorrow night, Saturday, at the 3rd Street Center.
That's right.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
It's going great. And Brian, thank you so much for having us on. Just want to get the word out.
You betcha.
Yeah.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, 3rd Street Center, round room.
The round room, yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
Doors open at 5:30.
How can people get tickets? Is that like at the door?
You know, yes. I would say probably at this point at the door is their best bet.
Excellent.
But just there will be a big crowd. What?
Well, we're being sponsored by the Center for...
The Center for Human Flourishing.
Excellent, yes. Excellent.
And if you go to their website, you could get advance tickets, that's and they're true. A little cheaper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have a song loaded up.
We do.
Do you want to preface it with anything?
Just to say, you all out there, we love Carbondale so much. We love you guys. This is a very, let's just say this is an uplifting concert, which it always is. You'll see your old friends there. And there will be some new songs, several of which are what we like to call a Velvet Hammer wake-up call.
Nice.
And that's what this next song might be.
All right.
From the Heart.
From the Heart. Here we go, from Jan Garrett and J.D. Martin.
For the past 4 years, Guadalupe checked in to the Phoenix Office of Immigration. Both of her kids are U.S. born, but everything changed the day they took her away. In the home of the brave, in the land of the free, we are immigrants and pilgrims and refugees from every nation, one family. When you come for Guadalupe, you come for me. For the past 2 years, Kamal made his rounds, Interfaith Medical Center, New York City. He went to Sudan to visit his mom, but everything changed. He couldn't come back. He was stranded in the home of the brave, in the land of the free. We are
immigrants and pilgrims and refugees from every nation, one family. When you come for Kamal, you come for me. Give me your time, your poor huddled masses. This is America, built by dreamers, yearning to breathe free. If I had to leave my country, what would I do? If the way I dressed was a trigger for you, if I'm not welcome here, where would I go? Could I sail away on an unknown ocean of hope? In the home of the brave, in the land of the free, we are immigrants and pilgrims and refugees from every nation, one family. When you come for Guadalupe, when you come for Kamal, when you come for my neighbor, you come for me.
Wow. That was a powerful ending. You told me and I...
You didn't know.
Yeah, very nice. I love that.
Damn.
It's a good message right now.
Makes me cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Marcy Baruch on the harmony, and she will be with us tomorrow night as well.
Yeah,
great. Yeah, so this is called "The Power of the Seed."
Yeah,
that's what the performance is tomorrow night.
Yeah,
what's that come from?
Well, ultimately, also, I'd like to say it's harmony in the midst.
Yeah,
kind of in the midst of the madness, because hey,
that's where we are.
That's where we seem to be.
Yeah,
it's a new song that I wrote last spring called "The Power of the Seed." And I think you just really need to come to the show to hear that and to get that message. But, you know, it's all our music is like uplifting, right? It's inspiring. And it's that essence of come on and share it. There'll be lots of people there that, you know.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. A gathering of friends, I think. A lot of people will know, of course.
I mean, plus you've been playing together for so long.
Oh,
I
dear
think
God.
You've got a
How
following.
Many years is that?
I think it was 1832.
Who's counting now?
It was our first concert here in Carbondale.
Yep.
No.
No, come on. 1832. Come on.
I see.
Did you not listen?
We're glad to be coming back tomorrow. That's for sure.
Yeah. This is in the round room, right?
It is.
Yep.
It is.
The sound in there is great.
We hope so.
You can get the people right in there close enough, and it's not a huge space, so you're not just echoing in the rafters.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can people learn more about you and your music and your work?
We have a website, actually. It's Garrett with two R's, two T's, hyphen, Martin. com.
Excellent.
And you can find out all about us. You can actually order music from there too, of course.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah.
All right. So, Jan Garrett, J.D. Martin, and Marcy
Baruch.
Tomorrow night, Saturday night, at the 3rd Street Center in Carbondale. Doors open at 5:30. The show starts at 6.
At 6 o'clock.
Perfect.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you guys for being here.
Such a pleasure.
Happy Friday.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Thank you.